Coming to you from the beautiful Rainbow Room, high atop St. Pete Athletic in the Warehouse Arts District. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. And hey, just in time for Pride Month, for its big ultimate weekend, we have Dirty John's Drag Queen Summer Camp, which is opened last night at the studio at 620 and continues tonight and Saturday. And guess what? I got Dirty John himself here. John Hulls. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm dirty.
We knew that already. Let's talk about what this is. It's sketch comedy. It's non-improv, just for people who don't know.
Right. Well, we do a little bit of that, especially last night. There's a lot of improvisation that goes on once we're on the stage.
Yeah.
We have a script. We've written a script. We've worked on a script for a while. And then, of course, once we get in front of an audience, it's a whole nother ball game. We're not the normal show in town. It's definitely not Les Miserables. It is definitely some dirty stuff. You know, it's in the title.
Yeah, so you kind of know what you're getting into. Well, okay, for those listeners who may be sensitive to certain things, just how gay is it?
It's gay.
That says it all right there. I mean, this is humor that straight people will think is funny too, or is it like for a specific audience?
I think as far as gay and straight, you know, I feel as if humor is funny. You know, if you're making people laugh, that it's funny, and we make fun of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's the core of humor, and I think it's a hilarious show whether you're straight or gay, and we have a lot of straight fans.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate them and love them very much. But because it's Pride and most of our cast members are either gay or bisexual or all of those spectrums.
Yeah.
And we've had everybody in our cast, all walks of life, trans people. And it's just it's a delight to have all of that diversity. And that's what St. Pete's about.
But it's dirty humor. I mean,
yes,
it's highly sexual.
All right, we're going to use that the whole time.
Yeah, okay. Bill DeYoung says,
yes.
How big is the company and, you know, how liquid is it? Is that the word? You know,
yes, it changes.
Static.
It changes constantly. Like our last show was at Cocktail.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so talk about highly sexualized.
I'm not going there.
We did. I'm going to go there. We did Cinderfella. We did a spoof on Cinderella. And because there is a bar in the complex right next to Cocktail, there is a bar called The Ball. Mm. So I had this great idea. I thought, oh my gosh, let's do a spoof on Cinderella, except I'll be Cinderella and I'll call myself Cinderfella and I'll go to the ball. So we took the entire audience from Cocktail where we started and we conga lined to outside.
Oh, that's great.
On Central. Yeah. And we conga lined to the ball. And once we got to the ball, we had an old-fashioned Harlem ball, like Paris is Burning.
You know, it's funny. It reminds me of in the old days that Steve Martin used to do that. He used to take the audience out of the building. They'd go and get cookies or something.
Right.
You know,
right,
and that's a different kind of comedy.
I loved it. I loved bringing the audience somewhere else. They loved it. They followed us. You know, I thought for sure once we got out that people would get lost or they're like, are we supposed to stay here? But everybody listened.
Oh, yeah. You know, you mentioned that you have a core audience. So a lot of your shows sell out. They pretty much all sell out. Is it all the same? Do you get new people coming in all the time? Or is it your core audience? We're faithful. How does that work?
I think it's a mix of both.
Yeah.
I would love to do a survey just to see who has come and gone. When I first started, which was like 2019, the premise of Dirty John's truly was to create an unfiltered performance of whatever anybody wanted to do.
Mm.
And of course, our first show ended up being... It was all sketch comedy. And it was called Little Sketchy. And it was all my students from American Stage.
Yeah.
And what bothered me about American Stage is that there wasn't a venue for any of these students that went through the improvisation classes.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything for them after they left. And I thought, I've got to create that for my students. So that was one of the reasons why I formed it.
Did it start as improv?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, we would get together and do improvs, and then we thought, oh, God, that would be a great sketch. So it would evolve.
Yeah.
And most of my students at the time were, you know, the best of the best, and I invited them. And then people started asking if they could perform with us, which I loved. People that I didn't know, people that were in the community, and they said, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I want to do something with you all. And I was like, okay,
there's a great freedom in that for a performer. I can. You taught on American Stage. Tell the folks at home what you taught and what preceded that. I mean, were you an educator in a previous life? Or?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I was.
Were you?
I was an educator for 30 years. I taught theater. I have a degree in theater, so, of course, that's the only thing you can do with a theater degree is either teach or act.
I have a degree in broadcasting.
So, oh!
You know, that's why I write, you know.
Right? So, you know, we have what we have, and we do with what we have. And I loved teaching for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then when I got to American Stage, they hired me as the education director for 6 years. I was there. And back then with Victoria and John, the founders of American Stage, they let me just do whatever I wanted to do, which was great fun. And there was a freedom to it. It was unique because you were an actor. You also were an administrator, and then you worked in the office as well. So it was like the good old days kind of thing that theater has kind of lost.
Yeah, we could spend an hour in here talking about what theater's lost. Yeah. And, you know, Carla Hartley was in here a couple of weeks ago, too, and that's mostly what we talked about, was the lack of funding. And so why not? I don't know. I mean, was it a matter of, you know, why not? Listen to me articulate here. Isn't this great? Why not stay in theater? I mean, why are you not an educator anymore? You had enough of that. I like, again, the freedom of this.
Teaching always comes with restrictions and rules and regulations. And American Stage has a board. So all of those things create a wall for a true artist.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted something free of all of that. And that if somebody came to me and said, I want to do this, in the vein of Studio 620 with Bob Devin Jones, which is his was always, yes, you can come to my space and do whatever you want. And I said, well, Bob, I have this idea, and I want to call it Dirty John's, and I want to do unfiltered sketch comedy. And
you know, I like unfiltered better than highly sexualized.
Thank you.
Let's fix that,
Bill. and you know, Bob just.
Bob's been great. I mean, over the years and
wonderful.
The doors just open.
And I did fundraisers for him. That was the first thing we did. All of the money, all the proceeds, would go back to the studio at 620 at the beginning.
Yeah,
and then I realized that I really wanted to compensate my actors. Mm-hmm. They work so hard. They are just true and blue, and I can't ask them to do it for nothing. So that's criminal.
That is commendable of you. A lot of people, you know, aren't able to do that.
Right.
You know, and you know, the bottom line is just so. I mean, I think you mentioned to me recently you don't have a really big budget for this.
I have no budget.
Well, that's what you said.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that I will always stick to my guns and pay my actors because, I mean, you wouldn't ask your accountant to do a free audit. So I always say actors deserve the respect that comes with money. You know, everybody likes a little monetary gain.
Yeah, a little compensation,
right.
You know, never hurts. Right. So was there a point when it started as improv, but was there a point when you said, no, let's write everything and just leave a room? You know, how did it evolve, I guess?
It evolved when Ryan moved back into town.
She was Ryan Hill then.
She was Ryan Hill.
Yeah.
She's now Ryan Gyllstra.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was blown away by her. And she was just my musical guest in one of the shows. Mm-hmm. And I have known her since she was an infant. Her mother and I were on the staff at American Stage when Ryan was born. Mm-hmm. And so I go way back with her. And she has an incredible education from Berkeley in Boston.
Yeah.
And she's got this powerful voice. I mean, she's amazing.
Ryan's great. When she did a podcast two months ago, I edited her laughing on the very beginning of the podcast. She's got this great laugh.
Yes.
And, you know, that was how the podcast started. And, amazing singer.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait till you hear her. I mean, she's just, if you saw Into the Woods, it was transcendent what she did.
She really stood out. And it was a great cast, but she really stood out. Yeah.
My gosh. So, of course, this is after Into the Woods. And I thought, for sure, that she wouldn't want to come back to Dirty Old John, right? And she did.
Do you consider her part of the company? I mean, if there's anything resembling a permanent company, because you said it's fluid.
It is, and yeah. She is part of the family. We call each other family. Mm-hmm. Most of us, like my husband, mm-hmm. Jay Hoff,
yeah.
He is and has been the longest-running member because he's my husband, and he's forced to come to rehearsal. So
I've seen Jay work. He's insane. He's great.
He's wonderful.
He's great. Yeah. Right? I think we did radio theater together a couple of times. Yeah. With Ryan, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, radio theater is one of the true joys of what's happening at the studio at 620.
Yeah.
And it continues.
Yeah.
And that's our home. So, yes, we're family, and our home is the studio at 620 still.
Well, I want to get back to something, though, that we kind of veered off from. You said that it started to get more concrete, I guess, if that's the word, when Ryan came along.
Yes.
And I think we kind of veered away from that.
Well, we started changing towards how do we make a point through music? And, you know, that's what all musicals do. So we became a musical sketch comedy group, and she would come up with great ideas where a song would be able to tell this, and so we would button a sketch with a song, It became so much fun to do our and then we started writing our own music, writing our own lyrics, and parodying a lot of songs that exist already. So that is truly remarkable, creative stuff that's going on.
So it really transformed itself. That's
And her husband, Alex Jalstra, is one of our top writers. He is hilarious has a dirty mind, so he fits right in. And he wrote a lot of the music for this particular show,
Dirty John's Drag Queen Summer Camp. Let's talk about that. What happens? What can you tell us? I mean, I'm looking at an illustration of a bunch of drag queens in a canoe.
Yes,
because
that's what you do at summer camp. Right?
I suppose never been to one. My wife did that up in New York.
Oh my gosh, you never learned campfire songs or anything like that?
Not in Florida. It was always just too bloody hot. You know.
Well, you know, there's cooler places like Ocala. You go to Ocala for summer camp, I think. But where I grew up in Louisiana, it was just as hot. And summer Bible camp was the big thing.
Not going there, John.
Well, you have to, because our show kind of touches on that.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me about it.
The show is about struggling drag queen summer camp that happens every summer. And Daisy Shadow Creek, the drag queen that runs it, is in trouble with the bank.
Daisy Shadow Creek.
Yes.
Great.
Daisy Shadow Creek, my husband, actually. Oh, and she's in trouble with the bank. And there are two gentlemen who come a-knocking on her drag camp door, and they're a conversion therapist, and they want to open up a conversion therapy summer camp dedicated to Lindsey Graham.
Keep talking.
Yeah, so those boys, the boys who come to the door and come a-knocking at the door, they've got a lot of power. But so does Daisy. So
I think I see where this is going.
Okay, you see it. So I I have a little bit of experience with conversion therapy. I have two gay brothers, mm-hmm. and my little gay brother was a missionary and very, very Christian and trying to fight his true self for mm-hmm. many years. Yeah. And he went to conversion therapy. And it, without being too emotional, it really ruined him for a while. It was a really bad time yeah. for him. And he ultimately became an atheist because of it, because of the experience that happened in conversion therapy. Now, how do you make this humorous?
That was my next question. I was just formulating that question. How do you make that funny?
Well, we thought it would be a great idea that these two very, very strict Christian boys would suddenly get caught up in the power of drag.
Yeah.
And Bill, I don't know if you know what that is, the power of drag.
Feel free to let me know.
Well, the power is, of course, from your feminine side. And releasing that feminine power, at least for me, I'll speak for myself from a drag queen that has, I've actually was born a drag queen.
Okay.
And
I'm following.
You are? Okay, good.
Sort of.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about drag is it starts usually with your mother's closet mm-hmm. and a full-length mirror and role-playing in front of the mirror, which
sure.
which is what I loved to do when I was a child.
Sure.
And I was really good at it, which led me to theater and ultimately to a degree in theater and then mm-hmm. ultimately to where I am today, a drag queen.
Tell me more about the power of drag queen, though.
Here's what happens is when you actually give yourself up to your feminine side, and it's not just the wigs, it's not just the makeup, it's not just the high heels. It's really what's inside of you and how you can experience what it's like to be a woman mm-hmm. and to feel the feelings that they have and to express yourself in that feminine side that we all have anyway, mm-hmm. Whether you deny it or you accept it. And I've had it since I was a really young child.
I don't deny it at all. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, yes.
I do.
It's a really fun experience. And it's always, I remember when I was in the neighborhood and I would put on shows in my neighborhood and all the little kids would, you know, gather around. I'd say, well, it's just going to be us four boys. And I wouldn't cast girls because I wanted to be the girl in the play. And that's where I got my first experience. Like, how fun is this to perform in front of people as a woman? And my parents were supportive of this way back in the 60s, which is
in Louisiana,
which is in New Orleans. Well, it was New Orleans.
Well, okay. Well, yeah.
So I was basically, you know, raised by drag queens. I saw drag queens all the time on the street.
Yeah.
And I remember there was an actual store in the French Quarter that was run by trans women and people who performed. Back then they were female impersonators. Mm-hmm. And there was one club in the French Quarter called the My Oh My Club, and they performed there. And as a young boy, I would love to go to this store because there they were in the daytime, not on stage, not because, you know, I couldn't go in because I was a kid.
Yeah.
But there they were selling things in this grocery store. And
in full regalia, or
well, some of them were trans, so they were transitioning.
Oh,
some
yeah.
of them, and then some of them were just men in drag. So there was this combination that was fascinating, and they all lived in this mansion on Esplanade Street, which was just a few blocks away. It was fascinating, and they lived right next to the Hare Krishnas. So there was this, I mean, that's what I grew up with in New Orleans. There was just this mishmash of extraordinary diversity that I've carried throughout my life.
Whereas I think if you'd been in, you know, Faraday, where Jerry Lee Lewis comes from, one of them little hick towns, wouldn't have been like that.
Yeah.
New Orleans is very forward-thinking.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So Dirty John's Drag Queen Summer Camp is on stage tonight, folks, this being Friday, at 8 o'clock. And it's also on stage Saturday at 8 o'clock. Have you sold a lot of tickets for these shows already?
We're sold out tonight, Friday night, and then we have some tickets for Saturday night.
Friday tonight's sold out, folks. So if you're going, rewind this and listen to John talk about it.
Well, we'll take walk-ins. If you really want to see it, you can come in. We'll let you in. We don't discriminate.
What does that hold, about 100 people?
It holds 80 people. There's actually 80 chairs, but after that, you know that we have areas that you can stand up, and it's a relatively short show. So, and there's a bar, which is always wonderful.
Yeah.
And she hasn't kicked us out, which is great. I thought for sure we would get kicked out.
Oh, but, you guys, that was so last year, you know. So you've done these shows at other venues, though, haven't you?
Yes.
You were talking about the one at Cocktail.
At Cocktail.
At Cocktail, yeah.
David Fisher loves us. He asked us to do a show in the swimming pool bar, which is the wet spot. And we did a show there where we were lesbian synchronized swimmers. It was during the Olympics, and I thought, oh, perfect.
We did it in the pool.
Yes. We had all kinds of visions of grandeur with that show, and we had never actually rehearsed in the pool until our performance.
That's the kind of thing that makes it even more special and probably a little funnier.
So special.
Yeah.
Because a couple of people had a little trouble treading water, some of my actors. But we did it, and it was hilarious.
Could they all swim? I mean.
Well, there was one person that was a little off. You know, I thought, uh-oh. I think he's going under. And I think it was because his wig was too heavy with water. God.
Carried down by the wig. So we'll see you, tonight.
Yes.
If we can get in at the Studio 620. And also Saturday at 8. Tickets are at the studio at 620.org. John Hulse, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a blast talking with you. We're going to take a couple of pictures and, break a leg.
Yay!